Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Monastery of the mind. Monastery of the mind. Why do we say all of that? Because our purpose is to draw you for a moment out of the world and into a place of peace and reflection on the things that help us to deal with all the junk. Right? We need strength to deal with the difficulties. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. I would say that our purpose is to draw us to Him.
Right.
To imitate Our Lady and pointing to the Lord and illumine that path on how to get there.
I like it. I'm with you. Yep. Good. Well, today I want to talk about, do something a little different we've actually never done to start the show. And it's inspired a bit by something that happened to me related to my father's death. And that is that by God's grace, as many know who've been watching and praying, he died in a state of grace. He was baptized, which means all of his sins were washed away because of the sacrifice of Christ. And he was confirmed and he received communion and last rites. And so he had not been faithful his entire life, but God be praised. At the end, he said, "Help me," and God is faithful and does help when you call out to him.
Divine mercy works.
Divine mercy works.
So, came through that devotion.
That's right. The devotion of divine mercy.
Yes.
We prayed it a lot for him.
We
actually
did.
Constantly.
Constantly.
Silently and out loud, whether or not.
And the night that he was baptized, that he
right.
agreed to be baptized.
That's right.
Yep.
So, what also happened during that time, which was beautifully miraculous, my brother, my middle brother, David, who I had been estranged with for 15 years or so, from, not by my choice, but just, you know, stuff, reasons, we were reconciled by God's grace. And he actually, because I baptized my dad and I don't know, it was 1:30 or 2 a.m. in the morning, and David, I have to just say, was the most devoted child I've ever seen to a parent ever in my life by a long shot. Nothing, never seen anything like it. But he was with my dad for months.
Yeah, you know, truly heroic.
When he had to sleep, he slept. The rest of the time he was with him for months, even to the point of his work. And the second heroic, you know, my sister Anita, and then David's wife, who gave, essentially allowed him to and supported him in that. But all of that said, David was across the bed from me as I was sharing the gospel with my dad again and then baptized him, and he was weeping on the other side of the bed. Well, through all of that, our relationship was restored. And then my youngest brother, Dennis, though we hadn't had a broken relationship, it was, you know, not close, let's just say, a little tense and whatever, because of life choices and things. So, but the three bio brothers, if you will, were reunited in a sense and brought back together. And questions and conversations about faith have been really common among us since my dad died. And my youngest brother, I was trying to think, well, how can I support him in this new refresh relationship? And he says he wants to draw near to the church and he wants to get his life on the right track, and we're trying to help him do that. So I thought, well, how can I support him? And I decided to begin doing gospel reflections, just speaking into my phone, making recordings from where I pray every morning, just out of what I'm meditating on, the daily readings from the Gospels. And I didn't know if he'd like it, and I didn't, you know, and so, but I sent it to him. I did a few and sent it to him, and his answer was, all day, every day, right? I think that was his answer.
Right.
And And then I thought, well, I'll see if I can use this for other people. And so I sent it out to our Apostoli group at apostoliva.org, which is like a private social network group with our community. And the response is overwhelmingly positive. So I began doing gospel and publishing those there every day on the Mass. So you can find those if you go out to apostoliva.org and create a membership, and then go, you can find your way to the Reflections from the Heart of the Charism group, and they're in there. But I'm all that to say, one, to share the beautiful story of the good that's happening in my family, and I know it's because of the prayers of our listeners and many people who care about us. But also to just say those are available to you. But today I wanted to, I was so moved by the gospel today, and I just wanted to talk about it outside of the reflection. And what really got to me, this is John chapter 15, and it's an incredibly powerful passage. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And he goes on and basically says, you know, you are the branches. If you abide in, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And if you don't abide in me, you'll be cast out and burned. And of course, he goes on to say, well, what does that mean to abide in him? Well, to abiding in him is doing his will, following his commandments. Well, how do we know what that is? Well, some of which he told us in scripture. And then he also, you know, in John chapter 20, as an example, breathed on the apostles and said, whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven, whoever sins you retain. So he gave authority to the apostles to you know, forgive or retain sins, which we understand as the sacrament of confession.
He established those sacraments.
He established those sacraments, but that's just one example. But he established a church. It wasn't just, it wasn't this sort of loose band of things. Because you even see the Jerusalem Council in the first 100 years, you see the structure quickly emerge with Peter, and in some ways there was already there was clearly already a structure that God had established with the people of God, of the Jews, right? So in the New Testament, that same structure came forward, but completely fulfilled in Jesus, right? And the renewed church that Jesus established had the apostles as the head of those of that church.
Right.
And then what did they do? They taught, they gave us teachings through the magisterium, both in terms of the scriptures, because many of them wrote the scriptures, of course, right? Peter being the principal, you know, and first. They wrote the scriptures, John wrote scriptures, and then they discipled other disciples below them. They ordained them as bishops and priests, and they wrote commentaries on the scriptures, or they taught. So out of all of that, you know, so the scripture emerged within the church, and then the authority emerged clearly. It's scriptural. You can see that pattern. And then the magisterium, the teaching authority of the church, and the normative teaching authority emerged, which means we know God's will from the church, which birthed the scriptures and the teachings around scripture, that help us understand what does it mean when Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and apart from me,
you can do nothing,
but with me you can.
Right.
So if you abide in Jesus, what does abiding in Jesus mean? It means living in that reality that he established, right? Does that make sense?
Right.
Am I clear?
Right.
So then he says, and this is a beautiful thing, if you keep my commandments, and of course, and then he says, what are my commandments? In one place he says that you love one another, right? But what really struck me is he says that these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. One of the measures of Apostoli Vitae, and we don't talk about it a lot. When people ask questions, we answer questions about it, usually. But one of the essential teachings of Apostoli Vitae, which is a community that we're a part of, is joy. Is joy. That if we know Jesus, a natural outgrowth of that reality, which Jesus says here in John chapter 15, will be
joy.
Joy. That if we abide in him and he is in us, joy. So if you're not experiencing that joy, something's wrong. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have seasons. I've been through a really rough season with health. I lost my dad. There's been all kinds of junk around that. And I have struggled a lot. But the question is, and I would hope, I don't want you to answer this. I'm not asking you, Stephanie. I don't want you to say it. The question is, no, but seriously, how would somebody describe me? Like if I died today and you asked someone, what were the central characteristics of his life? What would they be? And I would hope, this is what I want to be true, that somebody would say, he knew Jesus and he was joyful because of his relationship with God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your mind's going pretty good. What are your thoughts about this passage and finding joy and living out joy?
Well, what strikes me is, you know, I didn't know you were going to share this today.
Yeah.
So what I was thinking as you were describing all of this is that there are people that come into our lives that we don't, you know, we don't necessarily know they're coming or whatever. We meet someone. And when they come and they greet us, they start to talk, they start to, you can feel the presence of Christ in them.
Right.
It's not that they're giddy. It's not that they're laughing. You know, maybe that is something that's very natural for them. But it's light. It's that joyful light that you can see and you can feel in someone. You can see it in their eyes, in their countenance, mm-hmm. in the passion of their purpose. You know that they know who the God of the universe is, and they know that he is their creator, their redeemer, their savior, their friend. It's a joy that is grounded in this reality of whose I am.
Mm-hmm.
I know whose I am.
Who it is that I belong to.
Right. And I rest in that, and it gives me joy and purpose and peace, no matter the storms, no matter the difficulty
mm-hmm.
around me, that I can be in that boat and things are going nuts, but I know who I belong to, and that gives me peace.
And I want to, so when we get back from the break, that was all beautifully said. I want to answer the question, what does it mean to abide in Jesus a little more?
I think that's an important question.
So we laid a foundation in terms of it always means being in sync with the sacraments, the church, all that he's provided.
But there's more.
There's more. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about what it means to abide in Jesus, which leads us to having joy and peace. And there we go. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. Just wanted to pop in and let you know that our website, spiritualdirection.com, has been completely updated and revamped. So we still have the great content of over 3,000 articles on the interior life and spiritual theology out there. But also we've redesigned it so it's easier to find materials. We've highlighted our podcast and a huge video library that's growing every day. So go out to spiritualdirection.com and check it out.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're grateful to EWTN for allowing us to air this radio, this show across the U.S. and the world. We're grateful for all that EWTN does. It's the most amazing organization in the world in terms of advancing magisterium faithful teaching.
News.
Sun up to sundown.
Right.
News, which I work in, but constant catechesis from Mother Angelica and great mm-hmm. teachers in Spanish and English and French and Portuguese and, I mean, all over the world. So
yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
It is. It's amazing the work that they do. And it reminds me of, you and I went to Rome on our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a cradle Catholic, you know, and grown-up Catholic, thought I knew everything, right?
Right.
That's the brilliance of youth. Sometimes wherever we are, sometimes we think we know it all. I certainly thought I knew it all. And when we got there, we went to St. Peter's, and then we climbed up, went through the staircase, went up to the cupola, and I was just blown away about the immensity of the church, and all of a sudden, the knowledge, the understanding of how immense our faith is, how immense the Catholic Church is, and that I just all of a sudden knew it covered the entire universe, the entire world, that there were billions of Catholics everywhere, and I was part of it, and it made me feel very small.
In a good way, though, right?
In a good way. In awe,
and
grateful for this immensity of my faith, and this hunger to, I've got to know more. I've got to understand, what is this that I've become a part of that I have no understanding in a real, in a real concrete way. I don't have an understanding of what it is I'm part of, and standing up in that cupola and looking at the words, "Tu es Petrus," you are Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and to understand that it's literally
those are 7 foot tall letters around the inside of the dome.
They're amazingly beautiful, and that it's literal, it's figurative, it's everything. It's the magisterium teaching of the church. It's that Peter's bones are beneath the altar. It's amazing and beautiful, and we could study it all our life
and never exhaust it.
Right.
And the number of scholars and saints and martyrs that have given their lives. And Jesus is, it's the only church that Jesus has established. All others are break off, break away, don't have the authority because they've broken off, broken away. But back, I'm glad you said all of that, because it sort of goes to this point where Jesus said, do you want joy and peace? Abide in me. What does it mean to abide in him? And of course, he said to love and to keep my commandments. We talked about the magisterium and all of that. So that has to be the backdrop, right?
That's the practical piece, the
foundation.
The foundation. I can go and I can say, okay, I'm in, I'm out,
right?
I'm going to Mass every Sunday.
Right.
I'm not.
Right.
You
Simple.
Know, I'm doing my confession at least once a month, or a minimum of once a year, or I'm not.
Well, and
all those things, right?
The once a year thing,
right. No, I go, we're not going to talk about how often you and I go, because we want to stay awake. We want to be in him, and sin makes us stupid, so we stay really, really close to examine and confession and all that. What I'm talking about is just the basic minimum of understanding that I'm in or I'm out.
Right. You're in or you're out. And if you're in, Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll have joy. So what does it mean to abide in him? It's doing those things.
Right.
As an example, if you say, I'm good with Jesus, but you have mortal sin on your soul that hasn't been forgiven, or venial sin, and you haven't taken advantage of the sacrament that he instituted, that's very clearly instituted in Scripture, then you're not abiding in him. If it's mortal sin, you are separated from him, and if you die, you'll go to hell. That's not, I didn't make that up. That's always been the teaching of the church back to Jesus. So by his grace, he's given us that sacrament to set us free,
right,
and to help us to be clear about what's really going on and how do I solve this.
When he talks about giving sight, when we read Scripture and he gives sight to the blind, and he helps the deaf to hear again, we are the blind. We are the deaf. When we are not in him, when we are not abiding in him, we are blind.
Right.
We are deaf. We can't understand. We think we can.
Right.
If you ask us, I'm fine, I'm good, I can see, I can understand. But there's that sin in our hearts, in our souls,
distorts.
In our minds. It distorts
truth. It distorts who we really are. It distorts our self-perception.
Our ability to understand, to have clarity, to really think clear. I mean, there is nothing more beautiful than the clarity and the peace that comes immediately after walking out of the confessional.
Right.
everything's clear.
And whether or not you feel it, it's true. So the point is, those are foundational things, right? To abide in Christ means, yes, I'm in the church, which means I'm in Jesus' church, which is where Jesus is. I'm receiving his sacraments, which is the Eucharist every Sunday, and then reconciliation as a minimum.
But there's more.
But there's more. The other thing about abiding, it means living with. So I abide with you. How do I do that? I'm with you every day, most of the day, which is by God's grace. Mm-hmm. And we talk every day. We have a very powerful, beautiful relationship. My relationship with you is a dream come true in terms of marriage. I couldn't imagine a better marriage than we have.
Thank you.
So, but that's because we work very hard at it, that we're broken. We're both very strong personalities. We abide with one another because we're constantly with, we constantly talk, we eat together, we have dates, we take care of one another, we know each other's love language, we know each other. Why? Because we've worked really hard about it. So let's talk about abiding with Jesus. Those foundational things are in place. The next thing is daily mental prayer. Why? Because if somebody said, why is your relationship so good? We talk all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean we talk all the time in passing, texting, or, hey, pick up the groceries, or that's not what we're talking about.
No, it's a vulnerability. It's a very open communication where I entrust myself to you.
Right.
I trust you to see the deepest, most difficult, best, most wonderful parts of me, whatever those are that go on in my heart and my mind and my soul. I entrust that to you, and then I listen to you, and you entrust that to me.
Not always perfectly, by the way.
No, because we have the limited capacity of our human ability to communicate. But with Christ, we can have that same intimacy, that same vulnerability, that same radical relationship that is beyond what a husband and wife can have.
And so what's different about those who have that intimacy and that abiding with Christ and those who don't, and those who struggle and those who get confused, is daily mental prayer.
Yes, because it, just like a marriage, you have to be purposeful. Mm-hmm. I have to get up every day. I make the decision, even though for me it's easy because I adore you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get up every day with the purpose of, I'm going to love my husband. I know whose I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child of God. I'm a wife, and I'm Dan Burke's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up with that purpose and that drive in me every day of who I'm going to be, right? The same goes with Christ. You know, I have to make it purposeful. I have to say, I'm going to get up every day, and I'm going to go to the one who loves me.
The vine.
I'm going to go to the vine.
The source.
And I'm going to plug myself in, as it were, you know. And how do I do that? I make myself available. I give sacred attention, sacred time.
Mm-hmm.
This opening of myself to receive what he has to give to me in hopefully radical humility and vulnerability to say, come, give me whatever you got, because I want it. I love you, and I know that you want only good for me, and I'm going to trust that you will do that and that you will make me into who you want me to be.
I like it. So that's what it means to abide in Jesus.
Right.
It's to love others, as he said. It's to live with him in the context of the church that he established, the magisterium, the sacraments, which are the most powerful means of his grace, right? Only available in the Catholic Church. Of course, all of the churches of apostolic succession, there are Eastern rites, but most of them are unified. It's 22 rites, I think, in the church, and most of them are Eastern, and one is West. So those are all unified, and that's that have apostolic succession, where they descend clearly from Jesus. The magisterium, daily participation in mental prayer, and the examine, that's what it means to abide with Christ. Those who abide and those who do that know joy. Those who don't are in confusion. They don't have peace and joy. They struggle with life. They struggle with the church. They struggle with... Not that it's
others.
Not that it's magic.
Whatever it is, right.
Not that it's magic.
Right.
Not that it's like a formula, oh, I went to church today and everything was great, because that's sort of silly thinking, because life is still a battle and difficult.
No, but it increases our faith, our hope, and our love. You know, we know that we're abiding in Christ to the measure that we have faith, we have hope, we have love. And when we're in that boat and that storm's going on, you know, the Lord, we're not the ones going, hey, don't you care?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you care that I'm in this place?
Right.
Because when we abide in Him, we know that He cares. We know that He's present. We do not believe that He's asleep. We know that He's in that storm, and if we'll keep our eyes on Him, that it's going to pass, and it's going to be okay.
So just a quick plug about abiding in Christ, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about what it looks like.
Okay.
Is every other Saturday morning, usually second and fourth Saturdays, we do online formation to hundreds of people all over the world. No cost. Right? And if you want to find out about that, our current study is on confession, the sacrament of confession, which most Catholics don't understand. And after that, we're going to go through a book called Spiritual Combat, How to Win Spiritual Battles and Attain Inner Peace. It is an amazing book. I like it because it's kind of a manly book. It's fighting the battle of faith. St. Francis de Sales gave this out to many of his disciples. You can go to apostolivier.org or .com?
.org.
Apostolivier.org. And apostolivier.org, and create a profile. It's a private social network. And
it's free.
Community site. It's free. And you can join with us in that study. We haven't started that. We started the confession. That's going to be brief. We'll start spiritual combat pretty quick here. Go out to avila-institute.org or apostolivier.org. Or avila-institute.com, apostolivier.org, and you will you'll have never-ending sustenance to know what it means to abide in Christ.
Right, so come on, and our time is up today.
Okay.
So, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May He preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.